You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. So I'm in the room somewhere. Can you find me? Keep looking. I'm here somewhere. Look around. I'm somewhere here. I have a beard to disguise myself. Seriously, has anyone not seen me yet? Okay, thanks. Yeah, you see me? All right, you got me? Okay. Well, I am Waldo-esque this morning, and first of all, let's just do a make sure the generational gap can be solved here. Does everyone who here does know who Waldo is, or if you're from across the pond, it's Wally. All right, good. So we have a general idea of Waldo, and I just want you to know I do not have a striped shirt. I tried for that, although Will's shirt would be perfect. So I'm not trying to make any kind of a statement about a sports team because I have no grounds for any kind of statement whatsoever related to this sports team. So I'm fully aware of that, and I wanted to do my best to be Waldo. But I wanted you to take a moment, and we're going to share a Waldo experience here, a Where's Waldo experience. And of course, for those of you that are not familiar, this is what Waldo looks like. And this is him, and you are going to, in a moment, not yet, in a moment, you're going to have a scene where you need to find Waldo. You're going to find out where's Waldo. Now, I need to clarify, before you look at this scene, that I am currently, in the next picture you're going to see of me, I am wearing some of my camping gear. So I'm not quite as normal and basic as that, So you're going to have a chance to look and find me. And what I'd like to do is this, just to make it easier for me and for you. This is one of those times where you sit in the front row, you win. Like, it's a good deal to be in the front. But I would like all of you to stand up, and we're going to go to the side in a second, and you look and find Waldo. And once you have found Waldo, just have a seat, okay? So if you have binoculars or anything like that, you're welcome to find Waldo in this scene. So you understand what you're doing? You're looking for Waldo. You're looking for me, who is in this upcoming scene, but again, wearing some camping gear, so I'm not going to necessarily look the way you would normally expect. So go ahead, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. And now, all right, everybody's up. Go ahead and go to the next slide there and then find Waldo. Once you find Waldo, you can have a seat. It's pretty big. I actually zoomed in more. The picture was much bigger before. Yes, he is in this scene somewhere. He's also holding a cane and has a striped hat. Can you do this faster too? Because this hat is really hot. No, he's wearing this outfit. Okay. Justin, I believe, is still in the lobby. Justin, there are calls for more contact lenses and glasses. Yeah, if you need to come forward and get a better view here, you're welcome. Unless you're John Unkston, taller than the rest of the world, and blocking everyone behind you. Actually, the reason Justin isn't in the room right now is that he is behind the screen evaluating all of you, and the ones that take longer are going to be getting a business card from Greater Vision Eye Associates. Oh, the rest of the crew. You know about them, too. No. Getting there. there. I wish I had Where's Waldo music, but there really isn't any. The best I could find was Where Are You Christmas, and it's just too early. We're getting there. Oh, now we're making the trip up front. Just find Waldo. All right, we're going to do like a 10-second countdown. 10, 9, 8, no. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, have a seat. Now, go ahead to the next slide for me. So where was Waldo? Next to the white building. All right. Go back real quick. We'll find him. We'll point to him real quick. There I am right there, wearing some camping gear. All right, how many of you actually found him? Okay, good. Go to the next slide, please. Now, so you found Waldo. You got him. That's good. And I don't know, like, how do, this made me sound really old, but how do you youngins know about Waldo? Back in the day, like, you would go into a store, which are physical buildings you would walk into to buy things, and you would go into one of these physical buildings to buy things, and they would have, like, a table that would be, like, the Where's Waldo display, and there's, like, dozens and dozens of books, and you're like, oh, you could buy them for $20, or I could just stand here and go through them page by page and find Waldo and be done, save some money. So I don't even know how people know about him as much today. What? A library. How exciting is a library? And I mean that. Like, there's lots of excitement to... Anyway. So, here's my question about Waldo. You all found him. I got my... But, again, staying where you are, Alexis. How many striped canopies were there? How many of you just guessed that number? Okay, all right. All right. Why did you say that? Oh, you, Amy. Oh, my word. Okay, you're not allowed to talk anymore. Sorry. That's good. You want people in the police line of work to be able to observe things. Okay, so there were 7 striped canopies. How about how many cars or trucks were there? 3? 13? Come on, yell them out. What you got? 100. Yes, there were clearly 100. Okay, and you can't answer either because you're actually looking at the picture.
Seven.
Actually, there were 9. 9 cars and trucks. All right. What was the color of the swimmer's fins? Cerulean. There was no swimmer. What else do you got here? Yeah, there was a swimmer. The swimmer in the fountain, he had green flippers on. Green flippers. All right, what about how many people were on their roofs?
5, 3, 10.
I was going to say OSHA. Now, the answer to that is 7.5, because there's a lady that's kind of halfway out of her window onto the roof. So if you said 7, I'd take it. If you said 8, I would give it to you. But clearly no one said either of those numbers. What was the barber shop on the left side of the scene, the right side of the scene, or there was no barber shop in the scene? All right, at least you have a 1 in 3 chance for this one, right? So how many of you say left side, which is that side? Okay, we got, I can't see on this side of my hair. All right. How many of you say right side? All right, how many of you say there was no barbershop? All right, so, and then the rest of you are just noncommittal people that are already zoning out. All right, good. so the answer was on the right side. It was on the right side. Okay, and I'll show you some of these. How many motorcycles were there? 1, 2, 3. 2, 1, 3. All right, the answer is 2. There were 2 motorcycles. What did the statue lose?
An arm,
a nose, an arrow. Any other guesses? A nose. His mind. His marbles. He lost his marbles. Good, good. The answer is an arrow. He had lost his arrow, accidentally shot it into the tire of one of the cars. All right, what else? How many people were walking their dogs? The one on the roof did not actually walk in the dog because the dog was lost. So, definitely less than 40. More than zero. All right. Here's kids. Would you stop? If your last name is similar to mine, stop talking. All right. The answer is four. There were four people walking their dogs. And then finally, what was the shape of the center of the intersection?
A circle.
All right. A circle. A roundabout.
Octagon.
Triangle. Octagon.
Trapezoid.
Trapezoid. Dodecahedron, yeah. Again, last name, stop. I like this cane. I could get into this. All right. The center of the picture, which was very obvious, was a triangle. All right, now let's go back to the picture real quick. So striped canopies, there were seven of those. You've got nine cars and trucks all the way back up in there and everything. The color of the swimmer's fins right there are green. The people on the roof, there's seven and a half. There's a couple guys up there, some guys back there. There's the one lady kind of coming out of her window over there, so that's the half. And then there's another guy down here on his roof. All right, let's see. The barber shop, left side, right side. The barber shop is right there. If you see the striped pole on the side, and it's apparently a popular place. I have not been to one of those in a while, personally. There are two motorcycles, one and two. What else we have? The statue lost an arrow. You see he's shooting his arrow. It's actually stuck in the tire, which is kind of hard to see that part, but you can tell that he's missing an arrow. And then people walking dogs, there's four. There's like one, two, three there. And then there's a lady back by the hotel there walking the dog, four there. And then, of course, the shape of the center of the intersection, clearly a triangle. So those are all things. You guys were staring at that picture, and now I am going to take the hat off. You like this? This doubles as a beard, but I conveniently happen to have a beard. But if you need a beard, duh, with a D if you're listening online. I said beard, duh. If you need a beard, there's one here too. Anyway, so you were looking at... Sorry, I just inhaled some beard. Good. Yes, yeah, so now you're off. Okay, thank you all. We like to spread the tuberculosis around. So you were looking at this picture for easily 5 minutes, and you noticed Waldo, some of you eventually, but there were a whole lot of other things that were right in front of you that you didn't notice. And I think it's easy, and I feel like I'm a little kind of loud. Can you back me just a hair? I'm getting a little feedback. It's so often, you know, we can do something like that, and we're so focused on one thing that we miss all the other things that are right around us, that are right in front of us. And for this series we've been going through last week, and we'll be continuing all month long, about Thanksgiving and giving thanks in different scenarios, different circumstances. And of course, as I said last week, you know, we're used to just saying, God, thanks for our food and thanks for our house and stuff. And we're looking at some different things. And last week we looked at this idea, like, if all you had was Jesus, would that be enough? Would he be enough for you just to give thanks? And this week I want to look at this another concept when it comes to giving thanks. It's sort of a unique thing, but it's looking at, you can go to the next one, I think. Yeah, there we go. It's looking at the things that perhaps we don't even realize are right in front of us, are right near us, are right by us, and yet we miss it because we're so focused on other things. And oftentimes, and this is a whole other topic some other day, but a lot of times we're so focused on this other thing that we don't have that we miss what we do have. And so this week, this is the point that I want you to get. And that is that we need to give thanks as we live, because God has given us brothers and sisters. Now, to be honest, this was actually a slightly different phrase a couple months ago when we met with our creative team meeting. I think this meeting was in Yeah, this meeting was in September, at the beginning of September, and we're like, we're going through a series on brothers and sisters. Why don't we say brothers and sisters? And so if you were here for any time in September or October, we talked about what brothers and sisters are and why we have them and how we've got each other's back. All of that series I'm talking about in this idea of brothers and sisters. Because right in front of you, right around you, you have followers of Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, the church. You're specifically the MC3 church, or even anybody that's part of any church that's a follower of Jesus. And they're right around us. And often we completely overlook it. We completely overlook them. And so today I want to talk about giving thanks for our brothers and sisters and giving thanks for the people that God has placed around us. And as we'll see later, like, I want this to be an intentional thing. I don't think any of you are ungrateful for the church that God has placed around you, your prime group, for the MC3 body, for your brothers and sisters. I don't think you're ungrateful, but I think it's easy to miss what we do have, and I want us to be intentional about that. So we're gonna hit the house lights here, but I'm gonna be going through a bunch of verses, and these verses you're not gonna be able to follow along because we're gonna go kind of quickly, and then we'll land on a verse at the end. But as we've said many times, as I've explained before, the New Testament, and we're actually going to come back to this in March. We're going to do another overview of the entire Bible in March. But the New Testament was a big chunk of it, starting in Romans, basically ending up in John, which is most of it, were letters. They were letters that were written by different people, and they were written to different audiences for different purposes and reasons. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a large portion of those. And in every one of these letters that he wrote to these different people, he started almost every one of them out by thanking God for his brothers and sisters. And so I want to kind of zoom through, fly through these somewhat, to look at the different ways that Paul was intentional about the things that were right around him. And as he gets into these letters, I mean, dude, the church in Corinth, they were in some serious trouble. They were messing things up. You had the church in Ephesus, like, they were like sleeping with the prostitutes from the temple and calling that worship to God. Like you think we've got church problems. Like, that's kind of a big deal. Even though there were some main issues that needed to be addressed in these letters, Paul started by saying, I'm not going to overlook what I have right here, what's right in front of me, for the sake of the things around. And so I call this, you know, a lot of times we talk about saying thanks, but here you've got Paul who is seeing thanks. He is seeing the things around him that he needs to be grateful for. Instead of so focused on Waldo, he also was able to see some of the other things that were there. So Paul thanked God for brothers and sisters. And here we go. First of all, he thanked God for brothers and sisters whose faith inspired him. And we see this in Romans, and I'm kind of going in chronological, or at least bibliological order, the order of the Bible. Back up a second. We see this in Romans chapter 1, but we're also going to see it in Philemon, which is actually the end of Paul's letters, but it's the same concept. So this is what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Again, the very beginning of the book, the letter that he wrote to them. This is to the church at Rome, by the way. He says, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. So Paul thanks the church at Rome, his brothers and sisters at Rome, saying, look, your faith, everybody's talking about it. You guys are just following Jesus and taking huge steps of faith that are incredible. And it's not just I've heard about it, but everybody's talking about it. And then he says to Philemon, a letter written to Philemon, we don't have time to explain why he wrote this letter to Philemon, but basically he's got a book. Here I go. But there's a guy, a former slave of his that ran away, his name was Onesimus, and came to Jesus. And Paul is sending this letter to Philemon with Onesimus saying, look, accept him back as your brother now. Anyway, he wrote to Philemon, he says in verses 4 to 5, he says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. So Paul said, here's two different groups of people that I want to thank God because their faith has inspired him. Because they're willing to step out, their willingness to do things has inspired him. And so my question for you is there a brother or sister who has taken big or maybe little steps of faith that has inspired you? And just to, again, being intentional, like, wow, that person has done that. And I'm going to spoiler, when we get to the end, we're going to talk about taking the time to thank them, for what they have done and how God has used them in your life. So he thanked God for brothers and sisters whose faith inspired him. He also thanked God for brothers and sisters whose gifts had grown him. Now moving on to 1 Corinthians, Romans 1 Corinthians. He says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him God has enriched your church in every way. This is a church that he planted with him, or with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. Paul says, look, church, you got some issues. And we're about to talk about those issues. But you guys, God has given you gifts, and your gifts, they have been so helpful. They have helped this church grow. And we talked about that during one of the weeks of Brothers and Sisters, the idea of serving and using the gifts that God has given you and how every part is needed. And when you use your gifts, you take, but you also give. And it's a symbiotic relationship. And that's where we talked about the leech and the animal, the fish there that just takes without giving and eventually kills its host. But he says, your gifts, church at Corinth, your gifts have grown him. You have grown the body of Christ. And so my question for you is there a brother or sister who has used their gifts to help grow you? Is there someone, because maybe their gift is encouragement. Maybe they're able to just speak the truth that you need to hear in a time that you needed to hear it. Is there a situation where they've come alongside of you and helped you with something? They've served you in some way that they have helped grow you because of them using the gifts that God has given them. So think about that. The third thing here Paul says is he thanks for God for brothers and sisters whose love has accepted him. Whose love accepted him. And going on in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he didn't write any thank you there. But then in Ephesians 1:15, Paul says this, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. He says to the church that he planted in Ephesus, he says, look, I am hearing, people are telling me about the love that you have for God's people, the acceptance that you have, that you're welcoming, you're coming alongside of people when other people be like, nah, I'm done with them, or I'm tired of them, or I don't like them. Your love is known. And then he also says in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the same thing. We'll get back to Philippians later. In Colossians, the church in Colossae that he planted, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people. So Paul says, look, there's some issues we need to address here, church in Colossae, but I want you to know that everybody's talking about your love for God's people and your love for me and your acceptance of me. And if you know the story of Paul, his name used to be Saul, and he was one of the guys that killed and imprisoned the people that followed Jesus. And you know, if anyone needs acceptance, it would be him. And so he was able to thank God for brothers and sisters whose love accepted him. And so my question for you is there someone, a brother and sister, who is loving and accepting to you when others, or even yourself, wouldn't accept you? And maybe there's someone that you need to be thinking about and saying, okay, I want to be intentional here. This brother, this sister, they love me when no one else would, when I was in this spot where I was unlovable. They love me when I didn't love myself, when I wanted nothing to do with even me. And they accepted me and loved me. And Paul says, I'm thanking God for brothers and sisters that are willing to love that way. And then he goes on and says, he thanks God for those whose hope challenged him. Now we're in 1 Thessalonians and 2 the church in Thessalonica, Paul wrote two letters, one letter and second letter. So in the first letter to the church in Thessalonica, he says, we always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church in Thessalonica was going through a really hard time. And everybody's talking about they went through this rough, rough time. And they continued to just have faith in what God was doing. They believed God. They trusted God. And it wasn't easy, but they persevered. They kept going. They had hope despite the circumstance. The second letter he wrote to the same church, he says, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. So the church in Thessalonica was going through a really hard time. And when it made sense for them to give up and walk away and be done, they endured. They had hope in what God was doing despite the circumstances. And so my question for you along those lines, is there a brother or sister who has remained hopeful through a hard time? They've gone through a hard time themselves, and Corinthians talks about this idea. Sometimes we go through a hard time so that we can help someone else that's going through that same hard time. But is there a brother and sister who remain hopeful through a hard time and maybe challenge you to do the same? Maybe you need to thank God for them and thank them for what they have done because you were ready to give up. And they said, no, look, I've been there. I know it's hard, but God can get you through this. Then Paul thanked God for brothers and sisters whose obedience encouraged him. In 1 Thessalonians, he actually writes two thanks to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians. Later in chapter 2 there, he says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." And so Paul says, look, this was incredible because we shared this message and you believed, you obeyed God. You didn't say like, oh, well, Paul told me this, so I should do it. No, this was God's word that was being brought to the church in Thessalonica. And they obeyed it. And so he thanked God for these people whose obedience encouraged him. And maybe is there a brother or sister who has obeyed God and done something that didn't even make sense necessarily. Or maybe it was a hard decision to make, but it was what God wanted them to do, is what God has instructed in his word, and they obeyed God. And maybe that has encouraged you. Maybe it was someone where you're like, wow, I'm so glad you do that because, you know, I have a similar decision to make. Or maybe that person has gone through something, obeyed God, and challenged you to do the same thing and said, no, there is no gray here. This is about obedience. In January, we're going to do a series called Anywhere But There, and we're going to look at Jonah. And Jonah had a lot of opinions. Like, we think about it being about a fish. It really, that's like one quarter of the book is about a fish. But it was about obedience. And Jonah continued to share his opinions with God and say, God, actually, this is why I shouldn't obey you. And God said, I don't care about your opinions. You're going to obey me. And maybe someone has challenged you because they have stepped out and obeyed God in a hard spot and said, look, you can do this. You need to do this. Obeying God is always better than choosing our own way. And then finally, he thanked God for brothers and sisters whose friendship uplifted him. He wrote two letters to this guy named Timothy. Timothy was a young, new church pastor. And actually, I think I'm older than Timothy was now, which is, I guess that's what happens when you get older. You get older. I used to be like, Tim, we're bros. And I'm like, no, youngin. But anyway, in the second letter to this Timothy, who became his partner, like friends, like they worked together through ministry. And he says, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. See, Paul and Timothy, they were so close. They were such, like, Paul was the mentor to Timothy and had gone through some serious hard times together and had served. You can read about Paul and Timothy in the book of Acts and some of the different travels that they had together. And Paul said, okay, Timothy, now it's your turn. I'm handing it over to you. I'm no longer going to be in the driver's seat. Here are the keys. And it was hard. There were some things that Timothy had to go through. And one of the very popular passages I learned when I was in, I was younger, and many of you have learned in your younger years, was 1 Timothy 4:12, where Paul says not to let people look down on you when you're young, Timothy. And apparently everybody was like, oh, you're too young. You can't be in charge. And so all that to say that Timothy and Paul went through a lot together. When Paul said, it's time for me to leave, Timothy, it was a hard thing because they had developed such a powerful friendship and a powerful connection. And so Paul says, I'm looking forward to that moment we'll be together because your friendship uplifted me. And that's my question to you. Do you have a brother or sister? They have been your friend. They have been there in the ugly, in the good times, and in the bad times. Good, bad, and the ugly, all of that. And they have been there for you. And have you ever thanked them? Like, thanks for your friendship. Because I know, I know, believe me. Ask me when I talked to my last time I talked to the best man at our wedding. You know, one of my closest friends until I got married, and then I never really talked to him for like 20 years. I'm not saying that's an example. I'm saying that's what you don't do. But have you ever taken the time? It's so easy to take for granted the friendships, the relationships we have. And have you ever just said, you know, thanks? That meant a lot to me. This weekend, we had an opportunity to visit one of Kendra's cousins in Philly. We were there for a college visit. And John and I were, the unks, older unks kids were there with us too at Karen University in Philadelphia. And we were like watching our kids talk to the professors. And we're like, didn't we just take them home from the hospital? Like, isn't that what just happened? Anyway, that's off the subject. But while we were in Philly, we ended up visiting with one of Kendra's cousins who was a church planter. They planted a church some 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, almost downtown Philly. And Rob is his name, he and I have been in touch multiple times throughout the years because I'm like, okay, you've done this before. How did you pull this off? Like the horse trough, that's from Rob Burns. That was his thing. He's like we've got this building. How in the world do we baptize people? He's like, horse trough. Okay. And he explained it. And then like the next week, Scott went out and bought a horse trough and boom, here we go. We got a baptism coming up at the end of December, the week before Christmas. Kind of a cool opportunity if you've never been baptized, never publicly explained that told people that you're a follower of Jesus. Right before Christmas, bring family in, have yourself a merry little Christmas and proclaim that. But anyway, that was from Rob. And so anyway, when we had dinner with them after we were leaving, I said, Rob, I just want you to know that those conversations that we've had have meant so much to me. And there have been things that we've discussed in the elders' meetings. I'm like, here's how they handled this issue. And he was just kind of taken back, like, what? Oh, okay. Because it just took taking the moment to say thank you for your friendship. Meant so much to him. And maybe that's something that you need to consider. Because Paul had all these agendas, all these things to focus on in these letters. But he started out almost every letter with, but I don't want to, I want to ignore the focus for now and just say, here's what's right in front of me. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for inspiring me with your faith. Thank you for using your gifts to help me grow. He took the time to thank God for his brothers and sisters. And as we'll see, this is important. Like, we need this. You need this. I need this. Like, I don't think, and let me say this with a caveat. When someone is truly, authentically thanking you, authentically encouraging you, I don't think we can be ever over-encouraged. I don't think. I mean, if you're like, you know what, I just hate it when people say nice things to me and they tell me that I'm valuable and that I matter. Like, I hate that. If that's you, just come and talk to me later because I'd just love to know, like, how do you feel that way? We can always under-encourage. And again, when I say valid, like, if someone's like, hey, you know, go say thanks. And you tell your kids that, like, thanks so much for allowing us to come and play at your house. Like, okay, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about authentic thankfulness, authentic giving thanks. Because we need it. We grow on it. We thrive on it. And so when we talk about the giving thanks, that one thing that's around us all the time, whether it's here in this building, whether it's out in that community, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your prime group, we are surrounded by brothers and sisters that we often just overlook that have done incredible things for us. And just, we're going to take a moment and say, God, thank you. Thank you for them. And thank them. I want you to know. And that's what Paul said in these letters. He wasn't just saying, thank God. He said, I want you to know that I thank God for you. So, give thanks as we live because God has given us brothers and sisters. So now we're going to dive in. The one book we did not look at, the one letter that Paul wrote that we did not look at was the book of Philippians, which was written to the church in Philippi. And so we're going to be looking at chapter 1, and this is a little bit longer of a thank you in verses 3 to 8. So now if you have the YouVersion app, you can go there. Philippians is in the New Testament. Maybe about the 8th, 9th in there. That's way too much math for me. And then we're going to be in chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And so this is what Paul wrote to the church that he planted in Philippi. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. So he kind of has this longer, like, wow, that's a pretty powerful thank you note from Paul to this church. And so I want to just kind of break it down here, because again, what is it that we miss? What are the things that we miss about the people that are right around us, that the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters that Jesus has given to us? And Paul, as an example of things that he didn't miss. The first thing is that he says, thank God for brothers and sisters. And I think we all feel that way. I think you're grateful that God has given us each other. I mean, this is something the world can't duplicate the church. They can try. They can force it. But the things that we are, the things that God has called the church to be, it's unduplicatable. I think it should be. You know, the way the church comes alongside and cares for people and meets needs. Like, we have a thing called the welfare system. They're like, we're going to duplicate that. And it's working so well. It's not. But the church, like, if we're doing the church, it works really well. And this idea of bringing people of all, you know, the forced diversity that we have in our culture for all sorts of different ways and purposes. Equal Opportunity Act. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those. I'm just saying the church is diverse. The church is a unique body of followers of Jesus that are from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of races, all sorts of, well, only two genders. And that's what the church is. And it's an incredible thing. The world just can't duplicate that. And so Paul is like, thank God. Thank God for making this thing. Jesus, thank you for dying for this thing to create what we call the church. And I don't mean just Mifflin County Community Church, but followers of Jesus throughout history, throughout the world. And so in Philippians 1:3, that's what he says. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Every time. Do you thank God every time you think about one of your brothers and sisters? Because Paul said, every time I think about you, I give thanks. And we talked about the word thanks we looked at last week was a word that actually means grace, because of the grace that God has given us in Jesus. We thank God because of something that's so undeserved. Well, this is the more traditional, if you will, word for thank you. The Greek word for thank you is Eucharista. And you know, depending on your church background, you might have celebrated Eucharist or communion in your church. And that was just simply a way of giving thanks. And actually, we're going to be doing communion here in 2 more weeks, which, again, is often called the Eucharist, to give thanks. And so he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. So, again, pretty straightforward. But then he thanks God for brothers and sisters for sharing. He thanks them for their sharing. He says, I have people to share the load. And he didn't miss that. He didn't miss that what he was doing, he wasn't alone in it. Like, there's a whole group of people to do this. And that's what he said in verses 4-5. He says, whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard about it until now. He says, I'm so grateful because you've been my partners in this. We've got this thing that we need to do. We have a world that needs Jesus. And we are all called to do that. Depending on your church background, you might have heard the fancy word, the Great Commission. It's where Jesus says, you need to make disciples of everybody to follow me. And we've been called to do that. And if it's up to you on your own, like, good luck. But it's not up to you. It's up to us. Like, we're not alone in this thing. And when you serve in the role that you serve in, You know, whether you suddenly had an appendicitis and you couldn't be here this morning, there's people that are there to back you up. Now you're like, what happened? You'll have to find that out. Spoiler. You know, because we're together in this. And the things that we do and the different gifts that God has given us are to build up the body, to be able to tell the world about the hope that we have in Jesus. And Paul's like, I am so grateful to God that I'm not alone in this, that I'm not trying to work this thing out on my own. And let's be honest, you know, depending on you, depending on your personality, depending on your role, your responsibilities in life, like, it's easy to think like it's up to us. It's up to me. It's my job to make sure everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. And that's kind of overwhelming because it's impossible. But God has given us each other. And Paul recognized that. He said, look, you've been my partners. You've been with me in this thing. You've been helping to share the message. You've gone to places that I couldn't go. You've done things that I can't do. And as a body, that's what it is. And we talked about gifts multiple times, but just the last couple months we talked about it. And then we did a whole series on the gifts that we've been given. And they're not the same. They're unique. And they make up one whole body because every part does its part. And it helps us to function and to grow. And so Paul was thankful for brothers and sisters because they shared with him. The second thing is that Paul said, thank God for brothers and sisters for growing. He says, I have people growing alongside of me. Like, do you ever think about that? There are people next to you that are growing closer to Jesus, or they should be. We want them to be. And that's what he says in verse 6, and this is a pretty popular verse, if you will. He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, he says, look, you're my brothers and sisters, and I thank God for you, and you've been my partners in this, and I know that God has been working in you, and he began this thing in you, and he started to work on it, and he is going to continue until it's finally finished when Jesus Christ returns, when we are ultimately with Jesus in eternity. And so Paul was so grateful that God was growing the hearts of the people around him, and you're going to have a chance in your prime groups to talk about some of the details, like why does that matter? And I'll just, the short answer is because if you grow, you help me grow. And if I grow, I help you grow. And I'm not talking about Sean up front. I mean, I guess that does matter. If I'm not growing in my relationship with Jesus, I've got nothing to offer you. That was a conversation we just had this past week. I mean, there's a lot of been in the United States specifically, a lot of church leaders over the last few years that have just plummeted. And as this discussion with her cousin, we were saying, you know, a lot of them, they were really gifted speakers. And because they were gifted speakers, they got popular. But they didn't have the character to match it. And growth, our hearts matter so much more than our skills. And if you're growing, then you're going to be able to help me grow. And you're going to come alongside of me and say, Sean, you know what? That's probably not the best thing. Or, hey, this is a good thing you need to do. And the people that are in your prime groups, if they're growing, they're going to help you grow. And if you're growing, you're going to help them grow. And we're going to talk about this for all of you that are serving in an MC3 ministry here at the big old meeting in a couple of weeks. The importance of getting pumped up. The importance of cardio. Or making sure our hearts are healthy. But that's what Paul recognized. He said, I'm so grateful that God is working on you and he's not done with you and he's doing things in you. And it's also just kind of a nice reminder, too, because something, you know, I don't know anybody whose growth is just a perfect, straight, always increasing line. I mean, most of us are like this. And sometimes we're down here and really bad. And sometimes God then says, okay, and I'm using that really awful thing and I'm going to turn everything around and you're going to be up here. But we need each other to help fill those gaps so that when your growth is up here, you can pick me up when I'm down here and vice versa. So we are thankful that we have brothers and sisters that are around us, that God says, you're not on your own. You're not alone in your growth and in growing in Jesus. And again, if you're in here because you think that I am the one that is here to help grow you, like, that's a minimal percentage. Like, it's your brothers and sisters. It's us functioning together, doing what we do. See? Getting the kids excited up there. They're excited. There's no catastrophe. The third thing that Paul says, thank God for brothers and sisters, also for being there. He says, I have people that are always there for me. I have people that are always there for me. And I want you to know that. And I think you know that, but we often overlook it. You've got people that are always there for you. Now, we might not take advantage of that. We might not take that as an opportunity to actually ask for help or to say something. But there's people that are always there for you. And, you know, and I think perhaps probably one of the challenging things is if someone shares a need, like, they're always there for you. It's like, wow, okay, I just needed a loaf of bread, but, you know, thanks for the buffet. But Paul was so grateful that there was brothers and sisters that were always there for him. And that's what he says in verse 7 there. He says, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God. Other translations say, you share with me the grace of God, the undeserved gift of God. We're in this together. You share with me both in my imprisonment, which, by the way, he's writing this letter from prison, and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. You were with me through the bad times and the good times. You've been with me. You've been always there for me. And again, for us to say, okay, God, there are people that are around me that have always been there for me, and so easy to overlook that. And we need to take a moment to say thank God for them and to thank them for what God is doing. It is right that I should feel this way. I don't have time to talk about that, but it's really cool. He's just like saying, I don't care what people say. I'm going to tell everybody how amazing you are, how much I love you. And then he ends with this statement. I love you guys. I love you guys. Like, that is a paraphrase of Philippians 1:8. But I think it's a legitimate paraphrase of Philippians 1:8. He says in verse 8, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. And this word, tender compassion, well, there are actually two interesting words. First of all, the word knows that he's using is a Greek word. It's called martys, where we get the word martyr. And a martyr doesn't necessarily mean someone that died, although we often think of that, someone that died for their faith. But a martyr, the word means to be a witness, the one that shares. And so oftentimes someone that's boldly proclaiming and sharing their faith in Jesus, especially, you know, throughout church history and some of the challenges there, have been killed for their faith. Thus, we call them martyrs. But the word means that to be a witness. You would call a martyr to a court trial. That's what the title means. They would be a witness for you. And he says, God is a witness. God knows how much I love for you, how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. And the Greek word tender compassion here, it means from his intestines. Like okay, well, that's kind of weird. But that word meant from the deepest part of him. From my splanchon is the Greek word. From within me. Like, this is a deep love because I love you guys. Because church in Philippi, Paul is saying to them, I love you. You have been there for me. You've been my partner through this. You've helped me to grow. And I know, I mean, Kirk isn't here today, but I know he said that. I know Kendra said that this morning from up front. Like, I love my church. I love you guys. And I don't love you because, well, that's your job. You're the pastor. You're supposed to say you love us. No, I mean, I guess I'm supposed to, but it doesn't mean I will. But I'll tell you. I'm just saying, I'm just real. Like, I'm as much of a loser as anybody else. But I'm not saying that because I have to. I'm saying it because I mean it. Like, I love the stories. And, you know, I love getting together with our elders, the church. That's the fancy name for church leaders. We get together every month and share what you guys do in prime groups as well. We do in prime groups with God moments about what has God been doing. And the stories are incredible because God is doing amazing things. And God used this person in that person's life. And this person said, I talked to them. And they said, what? You talked to them? And he said, yeah, I talked to them. And they told me how that this can help me grow. And now I'm reading my Bible plan with them because of what they did. Like, what? This is beautiful. It's amazing. It's what we're supposed to be. It's what the church is supposed to be. And so Paul wraps up that little introduction just to say, I love you guys. And so my question is, what do you miss? What did you miss that is around you all the time because you're so focused on the hard time maybe you're going through, or the Christmas presents you need to buy, or that big event coming up on your calendar, or whatever, the job interview or the challenge you're having with that coworker, or the school assignment or the final exam. You know, we have all these things in front of us, and we miss sometimes what is right around us. And so, what did you miss? Do you thank God for the brothers and sisters that you have around you every time you think of them? And again, that's not meant to be like a shame on you. Like, I don't do that either, but it's just a challenge. Like, how grateful are we? As far as sharing the load, we were talking about this in our creative team meeting a couple months ago too. The whole idea, the old Mission Impossible TV show, before Tom Cruise, you know, which they're kind of cool, I guess. Focus. Henry Cavill's mustache. You hear that? Okay. Anyway, but the old TV show, the cast, there was probably like a dozen people in the cast, aside from Jim Phelps, who was there in every episode. But then these dozen other people, they would always rotate like three or four or five of them that were the specialists for that day's problem, that episode's issue. And so, you know, it wouldn't always be the same characters. You're like, this guy's special in explosives, and this week we need an explosive guy. And this guy's really good at making masks, and we need a masks guy. And this person's really good at baking, and we need someone to bake something. I don't know. But every episode was kind of the unique people that came together, and like, we're in this together. And that's what we are as the church. You've got people that are there to share the load, to use their parts, to become this, to solve this thing, well, not impossible, but a completely possible mission that God has placed before us. When you have people growing alongside of you, do you thank God for that? Because as they're growing, they're going to help you grow. And as you grow, you're going to help them grow. Sometimes you need to just thank God for the people that are always there for you. You know, and maybe you're one of those people that feel alone in a crowd. Like, you can be in a crowded room and feel like there's nobody here that cares about me. And I just want to tell you, that is a lie. Okay? If you feel like you're alone, you're a liar to yourself, because it is not true. One, you've got Jesus. But two, you've got brothers and sisters that are here for you. And if you need something, if you have a hard time, open, share, be in a prime group. That's how you get to know those challenges, those struggles, because, you know, you're certainly not sharing them up front right now. And then finally, this idea of him just saying, look, I love you guys. And are you intentional about thanking God for your brothers and sisters? Are you intentional about thanking them for what God is doing through them in your life? And I want you to do that. All around you, there should be a card on your chair that has the little Thanksgiving logo. It says, one text, one week. If you don't have one, seriously, grab one. Reach around. There's some extra ones on the chair. I want everyone to have one. And if you don't have one, then you're going to have to raise your hand, and Dave is going to have to come and get one. So you can either lean forward or back to the row in front of you, or just slip your hand up, and Dave has some extra ones back there. Anybody need one? All right. One over there. Anybody else need one? All right. Anybody else? I want to. Oh, okay, right up here. Just settle right there. Yeah. Do you need? Okay. Anybody else? All right. All right, this is a very small card, and it's a very simple thing that I would like to challenge you to do, and to keep this card with you. Put it somewhere. Maybe it goes in your wallet every time you open your wallet to pull out cash. Cash is green paper that you use to pay for things. Maybe you keep it there. Maybe it's on your mirror. Maybe it's on your dashboard. I would recommend, your home mirror, not on your, like, rearview mirror. Sorry, officer, I just didn't see them, but I sure did say thanks. But it's just a simple reminder for you to do this idea, and that is one text for every 1 week. And it might not be a text, maybe it's an email, an electronic mail, maybe it's a Facebook message, maybe it's, you know, any other given messaging service. Maybe you actually physically write out a card and put it in the mail. Mail is a thing where you put money on an envelope and people, human beings, take it to another human being and put it at their house for you. It's crazy. But this idea of saying, I want to be intentional. I want you to be intentional. I want us to be intentional about thanking God for our brothers and sisters. And so what I'm asking, what I'm suggesting, what I'm challenging you with is to say, okay, I'm every week, just once a week. So there's 7 days in a week, and that 7 times 24 is some sort of number. Because that would be the number of hours there are in a week. Anybody help me out? Kirk is not here. Anyone want to help me out? 7 times 24. Let me know. You can just text me the response. 168 hours. So you have 168 hours to send a 30-second text. But I want to challenge you to find a brother or sister every week to say, I want to thank God for them. I want to thank them for what they have done, how God has used them in my life. Whatever that looks like, finding a different person, obviously, you know, eventually this wears out. You can't find a different person. But if there's someone that God has used in any of the ways that we've been talking about, and you'll have a chance to review this again in prime groups, to say, I want to thank God for what he's doing through you. And you know, when you did this, it meant a lot to me. When you made that step of faith, it meant a lot for me. When you came alongside of me, it meant so much to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So one text per 1 week. And I don't know, I mean, we probably have about 80 people in this room. So that means, and again, I don't think any of you are like, I'm tired of people encouraging me and telling me that I have value. Again, if that's you, I apologize for what's going to happen to you over the next few weeks. But if we do that, that's 80 people that this week would be encouraged. And some of you maybe have never gotten a thank you for what God has done with you. Maybe you get a thank you because it's your job. And someone has to send you a thank you note. Maybe you get a thank you for your generous donation that you're about to give towards whatever this organization is that's mailing you a letter. But the actual real, like, this is what God did through you and how it mattered to me. So I want you to keep that nearby so that you do that. One text per week. And that means that at the end of this week, 80 people will be encouraged. That means by the end of this month, 240 people will be encouraged. 240, think about that, like 240 messages that will go out. That means by the end of the year, 640 people, I counted the weeks, there's enough weeks there, 640 people would be encouraged. Thank you. I just got a text of encouragement. Seriously, no, don't do that right now, I need to talk. I don't even apply, anyway, okay. But that means, so by the end of the year, that'd be 640 people. This time next year, 4,160 people will be encouraged just by you sending one text per week. So I want to challenge you to do that. And you know, if it gets to the point where, like, it almost feels cheesy, again, I don't think anybody's, like, they're discouraged because you're thanking them for what God has done through you, or through them for you, through you for them. There we go. So that's my challenge. To just, and again, put that somewhere so that you'll remember it, or maybe you come across, like, oh, right, I need to send a text. I need to send a Facebook message. I need to send an email just to thank them. And to be thinking about your brothers and sisters and being intentional about telling them, hey, I love you. I love you for what God has done through you and how God has used you to help me grow. So the point being, give thanks as we live, because God has given us brothers and sisters. We're not alone. We're not carrying this burden on our own. And we're able to help each other grow. It's an incredible thing. And it's something, again, that the world tries to replicate outside of the church. You just can't do it because it's something so amazing and so powerful and, let's say, supernatural, because the God of the universe is in us. The God of the universe died for us so that this thing could be what it is. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love for us. Thank you for sending us your Son. Certainly, as we talked about last week, to give us hope for eternity, because we could never do it on our own. But thank you then that wasn't the end. That then you rose again and sent your Spirit to live in us. The God of the universe lives in us that are followers of Jesus, so that we can do this thing, so that we can be the church, so that we can be brothers and sisters to each other. And I pray that this morning, again, certainly not a discouragement, but an opportunity for us just to be intentional about the things we are grateful for, but to be intentional about thanking you and thanking others for what you are doing in them. I pray that you would help us to do that so we would walk away a stronger church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.